good morning. And happy Mother's Day to those mothers that are joining us both here in person and those watching online. So glad you can join us for this day that we can come together to worship and celebrate those mothers amongst us at the same time. I'm glad you're here. My name is Pastor Devin, and welcome to Romeo United Methodist Church for this day of worship. I have a few quick announcements to share about some things coming up. The first being that our Yahas group, that's our Young at Heart Adults group, as they call themselves, they're going to be having their Pentecost / Birthday of the Church party coming up on May 25th from 12 to 2. And you're all welcome to join them for that, of course. But as a part of that party, we're recognizing that Pentecost is the birthday of the church. And they've compiled a birthday wish list for the church that is downstairs on the bulletin board. There's some tags if you want to buy a gift for the church and bring them back to worship. We're going to celebrate those things and open them in a couple weeks here. So that is downstairs, as well as the sign up if you want to join them for the party. Our United Methodist Men's Group also has the information for the home plate event that happens at Comerica Park each year. It's a event through the Detroit Tigers baseball team. They have a morning of activities and former players, coaches, people who come back and share their own faith journeys, what it's meant for them throughout their lives as being a professional baseball player. And then you also get a ticket for the baseball game that afternoon. So if you'd be interested, there's information on signing up. There's all kinds of events for young kids on up through the older kids at heart that might want to go to that baseball game or those events. So I encourage you to check that out. And finally for me, last week we had our first information session about the current going-ons of the United Methodist Church, the greater United Methodist Church. I thought it was a great conversation we had. People were able to ask questions, get some clarity on things. And we will be doing that again next Sunday, the 21st, right after service. We'll stay here in the sanctuary for anyone who would just like to be a part of that conversation to hear what we can learn right now, at least. So that will be happening next Sunday. And those were all the announcements I have to make, actually. So I'm going to invite you to join me, and we're here to worship. We're here to celebrate both our Lord and celebrate the moms amongst us. So will you stand and sing with me as we're going to sing hymn number 589, The Church of Christ in Every Age, hymn 589. Will you pray with me? Holy One, we come together on this day celebrating the role of mothers that they've played in our lives. We thank you for the present love and the memories of our mothers and grandmothers. Open our hearts continually to your love through others. Keep us mindful of those for whom this is a difficult day. Help us to reach out to them in love. Jesus reminded his disciples that they always have a place in his heart, and that there is a special place for them in God's realm. Lord, remind us of this truth again for us as well. There is a place for us. We are welcome. We are loved. We pray this all in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may please be seated. And as you are, our bell choir has been hard at work preparing for their number today. They're going to be playing Amazing Grace for us. thank you to Irene and our bell choir for blessing us this day, for blessing us with their music they've been able to play this season for us. It's been great to have them back in worship, and we do appreciate it. Yes, thank you. Even though half of them are in the back and they can't hear us right now, but we have our first scripture reading today coming to us from the Psalms. It's going to be Psalm 66. We'll hear verses 8 through 20. If you want to follow along, it can be found on page 508 of the Old Testament in our pew Bibles. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Who has kept us among the living, who has not let our feet slip? For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet you have brought us out to a spacious place. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, those that my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fatted calves with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Selah. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for me. I cried aloud to him, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly, God has listened. He has heard the words of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. And this ends our first reading for today. And at this time, I get to introduce a very special choir that will be singing for us today. We have an amazing choir, you all know that. But today they thought they needed just a little extra help, I guess we might say. So they recruited a few new volunteers. So I'm going to invite those volunteers who are going to be helping our choir to come on forward as some of our children will be joining our choir for today's anthem. Come on down, guys. Great job, guys. Great job, choir. And I'm going to invite you, before you head back to your seats, join me on the steps. We're going to have our children's time. Anyone else who wants to come down, please do. Oh, you coming? All right. Come on up. Oh, there you go. Well, good morning, boys and girls. How are you doing today?
Good.
Good. Hey, you guys who just came over saying, you did a great job. You sounded good. You made the choir sound even better. They sound pretty amazing already. And I love the hand motions. You guys did a great job. Can you join me in doing something real quick? Can we say a word of thanks to Irene, to her for organizing that and helping you guys do that? Can you guys give her a word of thanks with me? Can we? Yes. She does such a great job with our choir and helping you guys be a part of it. That was such a wonderful thing. I'm so thankful. And I'm thankful you guys are here today. I'm thankful that we can have this time together. And did you guys all do something this morning when you got up? Something you don't do most other weeks? Did you do something special? I see Eddie's nodding yes. Did you do it? What'd you do, Eddie? You gave your mom a present. You told her Happy Mother's Day, right? We get to celebrate our mothers on this day. We get to be thankful for them, for all that they do for us. Because if we're being honest, and if I'm being honest too, sometimes we take those moms for granted, don't we? We just assume they're going to do all those things that they do for us. We don't really say thank you as much as we should. We don't say please as much as we should. We don't smile at them as much as we should. We might even frown at them a little bit every once in a while. Yeah, we all do those things. I'm guilty of it too. But we can take time to intentionally, today's a great day to intentionally say thank you to all the moms that are with us. And we also take a moment to recognize that moms take lots of different forms and shapes. Of course, we all have our moms, and we recognize the mother that gave birth to us, perhaps. But we all have special women in our lives, right? We have other grandmas. We have aunts. We might have teachers at school, other people here in the church, other people that help with classes, those other women in our lives that pour into us. All of them show us that kind of motherly love, that love that they know that they want to share with us. And so we celebrate on Mother's Day. We celebrate moms of all different shapes and sizes and kinds and makes, because we all have those different women that have poured into me. I know I had some really special women in my life that were my friends' moms, my Sunday school teachers in the church, different moms that poured into me and helped me grow and learn. So I'm thankful for all those moms. And as a part of that, thanks. Some of you were here last week, I remember. And what did you guys do last week? Do you remember, those of you who were here? You planted a lot of plants. That's a perfect description of what you did. Last week, you guys worked, and they have planted flowers, put them into cups. That's the word I'm looking for. Potted. There we go. Thank you. I know I keep you around for something. We potted flowers last week. And for all the moms, all the women who are here today, we would like to send one of those home with you. So after service, the kids will be in the hallway with those flowers. They'll be taking them around. Please make sure you get one. You can take it and enjoy it. They were made so you can plant them in your yard even to enjoy throughout the summer. So we're going to be handing those out to all those special moms after service, right? All right. Well, I know that Margie has a lesson for you guys back there today. And so before you go back, will you guys join me? We can say a word of prayer for all those mothers who are here today. Can we do that? Can you pray with me? How do we pray? All right. Let's pray. Dear God, God, you are of unconditional love for us. On this day, we've taken time to acknowledge, to recognize the importance of motherhood. We give thanks to you because you are the parent of us all, the creator of us all. We celebrate your love, a love that knows no end. And today we give you thanks for all the mothers that are among us. And we ask that you strengthen them for their daily tasks, for their jobs as mothers. Grant them wisdom in the lessons they teach us, patience in the discipline they foster, persistence in their promotion of decency and compassion. Lord, may they be given the honor and thanks they deserve, but often they don't receive. Lord, we do thank you for all the motherly figures in our lives, for grandmothers and aunts and sisters and wives and stepmothers and foster mothers, guardians and babysitters, teachers, healthcare providers, neighbors, friends, loved ones, all those different forms of women that pour into us in our lives. We acknowledge to you, O God, that even amid our grateful celebration, our time of rejoicing and giving thanks, there are those who come to this place with a restless spirit, reluctant to name the difficulties of this day. For some, this day brings the sorrowful awareness of their own desire to have children. For some, this day is marked by loneliness and grief as they spend the first Mother's Day without their mother, as a widower, as an orphan, or even as a parent who's lost a child. Lord, we pray that you send your tender spirit near them to remind them that they have always shared a special place in your heart. We give thanks for the wide spectrum of motherhood represented among us today. New mothers and young mothers whose children are in their most tender years. Mothers of grown children, those who transition to the empty nest phase, to a new chapter of self-discovery. For those mothers and grandmothers who are of more advanced years, whose twilight of life may be marked by frailty of body, but Lord, we know there is no shortage of their love for their family. It remains as strong as ever. It is a reminder to us that motherhood takes many forms, and we are thankful for all those forms in our lives. So today, God, remind us to have a childlike faith, curious to every wonder and mystery, attentive to your every instruction, obedient to your every command, willing to share with every one of your children. Because we give thanks to you, O God, for you are our loving mother and father and creator, whose name we pray and give thanks. Amen. Hey, boys and girls, thanks so much for coming up. I know you're going to help Margie out, and we'll see you after church to hand out those flowers, all right? Thanks so much. I got it. Thank you. We do give thanks for those little voices, and we go from that time to a time of joys and concerns, quite appropriately, I think, each week. And we take this time to share those joys that we have, as well as the concerns we have in our lives. And I have a few that I had received that I wanted to note for us. The first being that we are thankful to have Dave Ferris down and with us again. We have been praying for Dave. It was good to see him walking in the doors, and we're glad that he continues to be on that road of recovery here. I also received a message from Sherlyn on Friday. She is asking for prayers for herself and for her family. Her son, Todd Churchill, passed away quite unexpectedly at 56 years old. Sherlyn and Larry didn't have a whole lot of other details. That's why they're not with us today. They're traveling to be with family and to see to those needs. So please keep Sherlyn and the family in your prayers as they mourn Todd's passing. And then just this morning, Laura shared with me as well that Dave's mom, Debbie, passed away quite unexpectedly. I'm sorry? She had a stroke. I'm sorry. I misheard you coming in. I'm sorry. She had a stroke and is being cared for. I apologize. But we will keep Debbie in our prayers. Dave's up with her today, seeing to her needs. So I'm sorry. We will keep Debbie in our prayers in the days ahead. And those were the ones that I had shared with me today. If we have any others, Craig has a microphone. Oh, Nathan's got one behind him.
I want to give thanks and joy for my oldest grandson, Spencer. He graduated from the University of North Texas on Friday and has accepted a job with the Dallas Cowboys as an announcer.
Wow. Congratulations to Spencer, and we could cheer for most of the games of the year, but there's one or two we lost. All right.
They lost.
No. I see Paul and Ann are here.
Great to have Paul and Ann with us today. Thank you, Debbie. Are there others today?
I just wanted the congregation to offer up prayers to Mary Jane Johnson. She and Richard are usually back at this time from Arizona, but she has large kidney stone, and she's having surgery tomorrow. She had a stent placed 2 weeks ago. Nothing has happened, but they're taking the stent out tomorrow, and she'll have further news tomorrow. But just prayers for Mary Jane and Richard, because they really want to be back here.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mary Jo. We will keep Mary Jane in our prayers for that procedure to go well for her. I did have one that came through online from Gary Kimmery. He's fighting a round of gout, but he says it is up and improving. So just prayers for you, Gary. Glad you can join us and be with us today.
Continued prayers for Beth.
We continue to keep Beth's eyes in our prayers as well. Thank you, Nathan. Are there any others?
Heidi and Leif as well.
Heidi and Leif, as they've started their move, they were able to be with us one last Sunday before they started their journey to Houston in that next chapter. So, yes, we continue to keep them in our prayers as well. Thank you, Craig.
I'd like to remind us to keep the people of Ukraine in our prayers as the ongoing war there continues to take lives. But there seems to be a glimmer of hope for the Ukrainian people. With the latest news coming out of there. So we ask that that their troops would stay strong and that our government would do the right thing, that our government would be able to make good decisions through this whole thing. And I just heard on the radio this morning this verse that I had been thinking of, and I just opened the Bible to it here, and it's kind of appropriate, you know, for Mother's Day. And it's Proverbs 31, verse 30. And what it says about women, and it says this: charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So I just really appreciate that.
Absolutely. We appreciate those women who do fear the Lord and serve the Lord through our congregation. Absolutely. Thank you, Jenny. There are no others. I invite all of us to take just this moment to spend a moment in silent prayer for perhaps a need, a struggle that you may be having, or something in your life of a loved one. Take a moment, spend it in silent prayer with our God. Lord of love, you've asked us to keep your commandments. In your life, you demonstrated the power of love to effect healing, redemption, and hope in the lives of all your people. Yet, Lord, we are so unsure at times of the gifts you've given for us for ministry that we wonder if we can really do what you want us to do, if we can be a part of what you're calling us to do. Lord, we admit we can be a strange mixture sometimes. We can be so arrogant in our demands for your mercy, for your presence when we have a need. Yet we can be so timid in our awareness of all the blessings, all the gifts you have poured out upon us. Lord, that is why we are here today. We want to sense your presence. We want to receive your courage to truly be your people in this world, to make a difference in this world that you have given to us. Lord, remind us as we bring those names, those circumstances before you, that we also are in need of your love and mercy. May you lay your healing hands upon our hearts and upon our spirits. We place our lives and our trust in you, O Lord. In this time of prayer, in this time of reflection, we join our voices as one. We lift our prayers as one to you as we pray like Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, I will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit Divine.
I'll invite you to stand with me again as you're able for our next hymn. It's number 334, Sweet, Sweet Spirit. Will you stand with me as we sing number 334?
down in heart in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall display.
You may please be seated. I realize there was one joy I forgot to highlight, and I don't want to miss it, because it has to do with the wreath that's right down front here with us. This was a part of our memorial service we had for Kathy Loba yesterday. We had a time to gather with family and friends to remember Kathy, and that was part of the decorations we had. Linda and Mark is here with us today, actually. Kathy's son, Linda, expressed her thanks to everyone for their help, for the putting on of the fellowship time downstairs, for that time for the family. So they wanted to pass on their thanks, and we do celebrate and remember Kathy and all the impact she had in our church over the years. We also take this time, we take a moment each week to be in thanksgiving for the offerings and the gifts brought here, the tithes and offerings. Those gifts that allow us to be in ministry, that allow us to do the work we are called to do. The meals served through this place, the help given, the lives changed, the impact made. I am thankful for all of you, for your continued faithfulness. We do have our offering box located on the wall that gifts can be dropped here this morning. We also have our online giving at romeoumc.com if you choose to give in that way. And let me take a moment and offer this word of thanks this morning. Dear Lord, out of your great love for us, you have provided for our needs. There is food on the table, clothes to cover us, a roof over our heads. There is someone who loves us. For these gifts, we are so grateful. Bless now these tithes and offerings, these gifts brought today, so that they may be used to make disciples of Jesus Christ. They may be used to share that message with the world, that they may be able to provide for the needs that others have. We ask all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Our second scripture reading for this morning is coming to us from John. It's chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. It's found on page 104 of the Pew Bibles if you wish to follow along. The promise of the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will see me no longer, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. This, my friends, is the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I realized after sitting down and starting the sermon, as I looked back at it, I realized I might be starting to sound a bit like a broken record from this pulpit, because it's been a few occasions recently I've shared with you my family's love of reading, of how much we enjoy reading together. But guess what? I'm going to that well again today. Because there's one bookshelf that graces our shelves that I have to believe you're all familiar with. Even if you haven't read one of them, you've heard the name before. It was a favorite of mine when I was a child, and ever since Everett's been old enough to go and pick the books off the shelf himself, it's been one that's picked constantly in our house through all of our children. It's the Berenstain Bears series of books. You're all familiar with them, right? There they are, Mama and Papa, Brother and Sister Bear. We have quite a wide selection of those books. Some of them are still from when I was a child or Brittany was a child, saved by our parents and passed down to our kids now, and I don't think it's a stretch to say that we could probably go and pull any of those books off the shelf, and without even cracking it open, I can probably tell you the plot points from beginning to end, because we've read those books so many times. They've been a staple in our household and so many households for so many years, because they do contain great lessons. They contain instructions on living for those children and, let's face it, for the adults as well who are reading them, on how to interact with parents, with children, with siblings, with others in our world. They have life lessons in them. But as I read through our scripture in John, the ones we heard just a moment ago, my thoughts turned to one of those stories. It's the one that's on the screen there that came to mind. The Berenstain Bears and the Sitter. You see, in the story, Mom and Papa Bear, they have an important town hall meeting they got to get to. But they contact all their normal babysitters, and none of them are available. Grandma and Grandpa are planning on going to the meeting. So are their aunt and uncle. They have no one to stay with them, no one to watch the cubs. Brother and sister begin to get a little fearful, a little upset. They're a little distraught that they have no one to stay with them when Mama and Papa are going to be leaving. But in the next panel, Mama enters the scene, and she says, "No worries, brother and sister, you're going to be staying home tonight." To which brother and sister's response is, "Alone? You're going to leave us here alone?" The thought of being left alone, being abandoned, even in their own home, it's too much for them to bear. It brings a tear to Sister Bear's eyes, even. Of course, we know that Mama and Papa Bear are some loving parents. That's not their intention. They're not going to leave those cubs alone. They're not going to abandon them. But instead, they've arranged for a sitter to come to the house to stay with their children. And perhaps some of you out there who have had cubs of your own can remember similar times when your own children had the feelings of, "What do you mean you're leaving us? Where are you going? Why can't we go with you? Are you coming back?" I believe it's something that's wired into each of us. That desire to know that we're going to be cared for, to someone's looking out for us, someone loves us, someone will be coming back to take care of us. We're not left on our own, not abandoned on our own. Like I said, I promise I'm tying this back to our scriptures today. It's not just talking about those kids' books. Because I think that as Jesus was preparing for what he knew were going to be his final days, he probably recognized some similar fears, some similar trepidation that his disciples were having as he talked with them, as he taught them. Because as you may recall, on several occasions he told the disciples, "I'm only going to be with you for a short time longer. What I have to do, you can't go. You can't be a part of where I'm going right now. You may not be able to understand, but it's what has to happen." I think for a lot of them, the thought of no longer having Jesus with them, it was a lot. It left them feeling those similar feelings of being abandoned, of how are we going to proceed? How do we do this without Jesus? How can we possibly go on? And I think that's the situation that Jesus and the disciples were in, is that scripture we read, that comes from the Last Supper, the last time that they would all be gathered together as one, the last time they'd have before Jesus was arrested. And Jesus, during that time, he wanted to offer them some comfort. He wanted to tell them what to expect. He wanted to tell us what to expect. That even though he was going away, even though he had to go away, he was not leaving us alone. That God was sending an advocate. God was sending the very Spirit of God to be with us forever. We weren't going to be left alone. We were going to be comforted. We were going to be taken care of. And additionally, Jesus tells them he has something else for them. He has a new commandment, a new covenant to make with them. Remember, this isn't the first time God's people were given a covenant. It had happened multiple times throughout the Old Testament that God came to his people and made a promise to them. But Jesus here is leaving a commandment that requires something of the disciples, requires something of all those who would choose to follow. This new commandment was for us to love one another. We're told to love one another as Jesus has loved those that he was with. Jesus says that those disciples who obey this commandment, those who love one another, even after Jesus has left the world, when the world can no longer see him, those who follow this commandment, those disciples, will still be able to see Jesus. Because you see, when we live out this commandment, when we love as Jesus loved, we cannot help but see Jesus in the world around us. We see it in the face of those people we're walking down the street with. We see it in the face of the people we're helping. We see it when we're the one who is in need.
when our hearts are broken, when life feels like it's crashing in around us, Jesus still shows up through those disciples who love one another. We can see that presence of the Holy Spirit at work in our world, in those that we serve, and in those that we love. And as I reflected on this passage from Jesus, this instruction from Jesus, it honestly, it made me stop and chuckle a little bit, because there are so many times when Jesus is asked a question, so many times when people ask things of him, and he doesn't really give a clear or precise answer, right? Jesus asked more questions in response than he gave answers when he was approached. But here, in this response, he doesn't leave a whole lot of room for interpretation. He doesn't ask it as a question of the disciples. He very clearly tells them what he expects, what he wants them to do. He says to love one another as I have loved you. That spirit, the spirit of the Trinity, of God, will come and live amongst us, will always be with us. We won't be alone, we won't be abandoned, we won't be orphaned. Our guide and our protector will be with us all the days of our lives. So we have the instruction, we know the command, the expectation. Then that leaves the question, how do we live? How do we love as Jesus loved us? It's a fair question. It's not an easy one to answer, to truly love like Jesus loved. Because if we look at Jesus' life, we quickly see a trend. We quickly see how Jesus loved. He loved by giving, not by taking. He loved by serving, not by being served. He taught how to love with our words. He taught how to love by our actions. He showed how to love by the way we lived our lives. How to act in the world, how to treat others, even others that we disagree with. He showed how to show love by continually looking for ways to serve in a world that is hurting and broken. He showed what we might now call motherly love at times. He showed what we would call fatherly love at times. He showed brotherly love to the disciples. He showed all the different ways we can love one another. Many different forms love can take in our world. And Jesus, he showed the ultimate love. He showed what it means to truly give our life and love. And I'm not just talking about going to the cross. That is how he lived his life throughout his life. The cross was only the final act. It was long before the cross, and all that he said and all that he did it in the spirit of love, showing that love to everyone he met. And to me, I think that's one of the most important things we have to note in this passage. Because it's this command to love. It's not just that we are to love, it's who we are to love. That we are to go and love all people. He didn't put some stipulations on it of who we are supposed to love, only those people that fit into a specific category or mold. He recognized that the whole world was in need of his love. Because Jesus loved the poor and the oppressed, the outcasts, the sick and the diseased, the mentally ill, the deformed, the blind, the lame, the deaf, the lost, the sinners, the list can go on and on. Jesus didn't hesitate in who he showed that love to. He loved women and children. He loved those inside the faith community that he worshiped in and those outside of his own faith community. He loved people from different cultural and ethnic groups than his own. Jesus gave himself in love by teaching, healing, let's face it, just plain old hanging out with, being present with those people. He didn't look to surround himself with the successful, powerful people of the day. He didn't look to hang out with the glamorous, beautiful, powerful, wealthy folks. He didn't choose friends or associates that would be able to give him something out of the relationship. Jesus instead chose to spend time with those rejected by that generation. Those who Jesus hung around with, he didn't look to get anything in personal gain from. He wasn't looking to get worldly power or popularity. Jesus, throughout his life, wasn't looking to get anything from them. Wasn't looking to get something out of the relationship. Jesus was instead looking to give. Give himself to anybody and everybody who would receive. Anybody and everybody who was willing to open their hearts and their minds. This next statement I'm going to make, I don't think it's going to come as a shock to anyone in this room. If it does, please come see me after service. But you
all of you out there, and myself included, we're not Jesus. Is that a shock to anyone? All right. Just wanted to make sure. If he was here, I wanted to have a conversation. Most of us, we're probably not going to be able to give ourselves the way that Jesus did. We don't have that same makeup inside of us. But my friends, as I thought about it, as I looked at it, as I reflected on it this week, we may not be able to do it in full force, but we sure can try, can't we? We can practice loving like Jesus loved. And the more we practice, the more we try, the more we learn to love by concentrating on the needs, on giving to others, the more at peace we can be with ourselves at knowing we are following that commandment. Because the good news for those of us who aren't Jesus is that we need to learn to love one another as he loved us, but we're not alone in that work. We have that Spirit, that advocate, that promise that Jesus sent to us to strengthen us, to lift up our hearts, to lift up our spirits on those days that we need it. The Spirit of God precedes us in all our work, in all our daily living. It is already at work in our world. It is moving. I've said it recently, and I fully believe it. The Spirit of God is at work in Romeo, Michigan. I've seen it through our ministries, through our churches, through the other groups in this area. God is at work. God is doing something. God is welcoming us to be a part of it. And we can do it by sharing that love. As I read through this chapter of John, I finished reading past what was in our scripture reading today. I realized I had one question that was kind of forming there in the back of my mind. And sometimes maybe you've been in that situation. You have that question that comes to your mind and you wonder, should I really ask this? What's going to be the response if I ask this? What's my boss going to think? What's my parent going to think if I ask this question? But the question I found that I just wish the disciples would have said, Jesus, what is enough? Where is the line of how much you expect us to do? I can only do so much. I can only try so hard. Jesus, where is the line? What is enough? How far do I go to live into this commandment? I don't know the answer to that, my friends. I wish I did. What I do know is that when we make Jesus, when we make him a priority, make our relationship with Jesus a priority, we get to know him a little bit further by studying and devoting our time in worship. We get to know him by reading and rereading the Bible, having new things open to our eyes. We get to know him by partaking in the bread of life and the cup when we ask for forgiveness. We get to know him by comparing our own experience, our own life experience with other Christians, by hearing their experiences. Judy just shared with me this week, Judy Howard came and told me about a recent experience she had. It was so heartwarming for me to hear her explain her time experiencing God, experiencing the presence in a new and different way. That's an awesome thing to hear. That's what we're called to do, to share that love and that life together. We get to know Jesus by doing on-the-job training, through worship and through mission, through serving others, through giving of ourselves to others. And it isn't an easy thing. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes doing it over and over. It even takes making mistakes and falling sometimes. But when we do, we know that we have that Spirit there with us to guide us, to comfort us, to lift us up and put us back on that path. What is enough? Enough to give? Enough to serve? Enough to help? Enough to love? What is enough? I don't know. That's my grand conclusion for my sermon today. I don't know. I think if we think we have it figured out, if we think we see that line that we're getting close to, that we're just about to cross that line of what is enough, I have a feeling God's coming to pick that line up and he's going to take it another 100 yards down the field. I don't think that line is a mark we're striving to. I think it's a way of life that we've been called to, a way of serving and loving others, same way we were shown, same way that Jesus did. We heard from Jesus in verse 21. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father. And I will love them and reveal myself to them. Once we make that decision to accept Jesus into our lives, to start to try to keep Jesus' commandment to love as he loved. My friends, it is transformational. It changes us. It changes how we are, who we are. Jesus Christ is revealed to us in new ways. Our spirits can find a peace like none known before. We come to know deep down in our hearts that we are not only one with Christ, we are one with each other. One body, one spirit, living together. This is the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides in you, and he will help you. That spirit of truth that Jesus speaks of, it lives in each of us. So let us go into the world and show the world that we know it, that we feel it, that we live it. Let us find those who are broken and hurting and lost, those who are categorized as the least of these amongst us. Let us go this day and choose to love and serve others. Let us choose to love and serve God today and always. Amen.
So let's all rise for our life song, if you're able.
Your love is strength to my soul. Hope for tomorrow, it won't let go. Your presence is the joy of my life. To you, my eyes. As for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. We'll sing of your love forevermore. As for me in my house, we will serve the Lord, serve the Lord. Your word alone, a lamp to my feet, a light to my path as you're leading me. Your ways, O Lord, are higher than mine. You uplift my eyes. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will sing of your love forevermore. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Open up every door, write on every wall, sing it in every room. Open up every door, write it on every wall, sing it in every room. Open up every door, write it on every wall. See it in every room, Jesus. Open up every door, write it on every wall. Sing it in every room, Jesus. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will sing of your love forevermore. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, serve the Lord. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will sing of love forevermore. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, serve the Lord. Open up every door, write it on every wall, sing it in every room.
Amen.
Mothers, don't forget, we have the children waiting for you outside the hallway. Please make your way and get your flowers. And as we go, go as the family of God, saved by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, baptized into a new life. As we leave this place, let us be prepared to live out our faith, live out our testimony, live out our love. Let us go to proclaim the living hope with God's blessing now and forevermore. Amen.